So let's give a little bit of a hakdama in a much more understandable way of what brachos are. Chazal say, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach, Mo Al Tikra, Mo El Meya. 100 brachos that a person makes in the day. All different parts of life. The purpose of a bracha, basically, is to recognize that everything comes from the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and that I'm dependent on Him. And to recognize that everything I have doesn't just come by chance, it's not my doing, but everything I'm dependent on the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And that's why in the major bracha, which is Shemoneh Esrei, we start by bending our knees, bowing our head, and then standing up straight. Baruch can have the meaning that you, the Rabbanu Shel Olam, are the source of all blessing. Baruch, not blessing God. There's another meaning of Baruch, that we're trying to give God to increase what His relationship with us is. But the simplest meaning is Baruch Atah Hashem. You, God, are the source of all blessing. So when I say that, I bend my knees. And in my estimation, that means that I'm saying I don't have a leg to stand on. I can't stand myself. I need you, Rabbanu Shel Olam, to make me stand. I have no support on my own. You are the source of blessing. You're the source of my support. So I bend my knees. And then, Atah, you, not me. So I bend my body over in submission, as if I don't exist. Now you would imagine when you say Shem Hashem, you should fall flat on your face. I'm nothing. It's Hashem. No, then we stand up straight. Why? Because we say, without you, Rabbanu Shel Olam, I'm nothing. I don't have a leg to stand on, and I'm nothing. You're the source of blessing, and it's you, not me. But with you, Hashem, then I can stand up straight. You give me the ability to stand up straight. So that is what a bracha is. And therefore, 100 brachos give me that understanding in its totality. Because 10 is a number that represents many things united into one achdus. Right? That's a decimal system. 10 is 1 10 and 0 1s. Up until 10, each number is separate. 10 unites them all. That's why 10 has many things to do with 10. Aseres Adibros, Asorah Mamoros, the world was created. Psukim in Malchios, Echronos, and so forth. Many things. When you have a lot of things, but you want to unite them under Hashem, that's the number 10. 10 tens, which is 100, is the ultimate unity of all the many different things that could be. So 100 brachos covers everything in the world that could possibly be, right, in one of these categories. And that way I make a statement throughout the day that every single thing that I come in contact with in every area is something that comes from the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And the Chazal were mesakin brachos specific to each thing, because you don't want to make stam a bracha in general, like we just learned, that you have to know the details also. So every bracha, you make a bracha on the detail of what that fits what you're doing. Because if you don't do it specific, then you don't know exactly what you're making a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Shakol Niyah B'dvaro. If we make that on everything, right? So I don't really understand what this is and what I'm benefiting. But if I say Boring Minim Mazonos, I know this is a Mazonos. I know what it is, and I know that I'm saying that specific thing I have to attribute to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So by saying it in detail, in each thing specific, right, it makes it more real. Okay. You can't really know something unless you know all of its details. That's what he said. There's who says it? The Rashbam. Rashbam says the whole Sefer Bereishis was written so I should be able to understand the pasuk B'shivim Nefesh Yardu Osech Mitzrayim. Our forefathers went down to Mitzrayim with 70 souls. The only way of really understanding that is to understand the whole Ishtaushas from Bria Sa'olam till you read this Mitzrayim. Who are these 70 souls? Where did they come from? Why did they go down to Mitzrayim? Right? What preceded that? So from Bria Sa'olam till, what's it called, Yuridas Mitzrayim is necessary so I can know what that means. Otherwise I know it generally, 70 souls, okay, but how did it happen? What caused it? Who were these 70 souls? Says the Rashbam, the whole Sefer Bereishis is I should understand that pasuk. He says. Okay, there is another idea in a bracha, that the word bracha comes from the word brecha, right? Not swimming pool, but a fountain, right?
Reservoir.
What? It's not a reservoir. Reservoir is water that you put in something. A spring. That's it, a spring. A spring. A living water that emanates from a source and keeps flowing. So the word bracha means tosefes v'ribui, to add. Rabbi Shalom, I want you to add, Baruch Atah Hashem, add to this thing, which means the following, that I want to eat a piece of bread. So I say, I know, Rabbi Shalom, you are the one who provides the power for bread to grow, for wheat to grow, and to make bread out of it. I want that power in the world to increase. I want to do my part. The Rebbe Shalom created a whole system of where he brings things into this world, and he wants me to be dynamic in fueling that system. Torah, mitzvahs, but specifically tefillah and brachos fuel the system. So God wants to influence, put his influence in the world and make bread, make wheat to make bread. But he wants me to be the energy source for that. So by saying a bracha, I am creating the energy source for the Rebbeinu of then to use that energy and bring bread into the world. Which explains why Chazal say that a person who eats without a bracha is like he's stealing. Or it's like he's moel behektish. Right? Simple meaning is God created everything. Hashemayim, Shemayim, Vashem. Vashem ha'aretz u'moloa. God owns everything. So he gave me permission to use it if I make a bracha, if I ask permission, if I recognize where it's coming from. So if I don't do that, I have no permission to use it, so I'm stealing. Or even worse, I'm taking hekdesh and using it for my own purposes, and I don't have any right to do that. Right? Otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Right? How does making a bracha make me not a ganav? I walk into your house, right, and I take something of yours, so I'm a ganav. But if I say, you're blessed, what's it called, that you have this thing, and then I take it, I'm still a ganav. The idea is, by making the bracha, I'm substituting something for what I'm taking. I'm adding a spiritual power to make more bread, so I can take bread and I'm giving something in return. I'm replacing it. So that makes it not a ganav. And the other idea is, by making a bracha, I'm basically recognizing that it's coming from Hashem, and then he gives me permission to use it. If I don't recognize it comes from Hashem, then I have no permission to use it, so I'm a ganav. And therefore Chazal say, Osur lehenos me'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. They're not allowed to enjoy anything in this world without a bracha, at least the things that the Chachamim made brachas on that are important, food, and certain things you see, and certain things that you smell, and certain things like that. Every bracha has to have shem u'malchus to be a bracha. You have to say Shem Hashem, which is usually Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, but it could be any one of the other names of God. And you have to say Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. It's not just God, my God, it's the God of the whole world. Okay, and the bracha is said, the beginning of the bracha is Nigle, and the end of the bracha is Nister. One is second person, direct, and the other is third person, indirect. For instance, Baruch Atah Birchos HaMitzvos. Baruch Atah Hashem Atah. We say, you blessed are you, God. Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosav. Now we're not speaking anymore second person. Should have said Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosecha. Right? But Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosav. Because we can relate to God directly as Melech HaOlam within the world. But we should realize that's not really the essence of God. God is not limited to the world. He's beyond this world completely. So therefore I speak to God directly and say, God, you are the source of blessing within the system of the world. I can talk to you directly. You are the source of everything that I have in this world. And you made me a partner with you, and I want to do my part to extend your relationship with the world. But I understand that even though I can talk to you second person, I'm not really on par and understand you you are beyond this world, and therefore I speak to you in a hidden way in the third person at the end of the bracha. Brachos are only the Rabbanan, except for the bracha you make on benching. The only bracha that's min haTorah, with maybe another exception, but right now I'm not going to it, is Birkas HaMazon. Birkas HaTorah also maybe from the Torah. And you only make a bracha min haTorah after you eat, and only after you eat bread, right, a certain amount or whatever. When you're full, then it's min haTorah. Otherwise, all other brachos are rabbinic. And even though the Gemara learns out that you make a bracha before from a kal v'chomer, if when you're full you make a bracha, surely when you're hungry you should make a bracha, right? So it's a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer is we learn halachas of Torah laws. Tosa says it's not 100% kal v'chomer. It doesn't say why not. The Meshech Chachma says that there's a svara to say that you should only make a bracha when you're full and not a bracha when you're hungry. Why? Because when you're hungry, you know that you need God. So you know that He's the source, right, because you're hungry. When you're full, you can fool yourself into thinking you don't need the Ribbono Shel Olam anymore. I'm okay, I can take care of myself. So then you need Vayishman Yishurim. When you're full, then you need to recognize that it was the Ribbono Shel Olam who gave you the food. Now you may forget it. When you're hungry, you don't forget it. So therefore, it's not 100% kal v'chomer that when you're full, you make a bracha. Surely when you're hungry, no, it's hard to say that when you're full is dafka when you should make a bracha, not necessarily when you're hungry. And therefore, since brachos are only rabbinic, and there's another problem here, that saying a bracha where it's not necessary, or saying a bracha where it's not necessary, or it's totally uncalled for. It's a difference between the two. Make a bracha and stam. Say right now, Motzi Lech Min Aretz. That's called a bracha levatala. It's a bracha for no purpose. A bracha shena tricha is, I'm eating bread, I made a motzi, and then I take this another slice and I make another motzi. That's called bracha shena tricha. It's not a bracha shel levatala because I'm making a bracha on bread. But it's unnecessary because I already made a bracha on bread and this is part of the same meal. That's called a bracha shena tricha. There's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether making that kind of bracha you transgress a Torah prohibition of losisa Hashem akechel hashab, taking God's name in vain. There's no reason to say that bracha. You're mentioning God's name in vain. The Rambam holds that that is a Torah prohibition. The Ramban says no. Since you said a bracha, you're not taking God's name in vain. Why should you bless His name? It's not vain. It's rabbinically prohibited, but it's not Torah prohibited. So in the Rambam you could understand why, if you're not sure if you should make a bracha or not, even though it's usher to have any enjoyment from this world without a bracha, but you may be transgressing the Torah prohibition of making a bracha where it's not necessary. So in those situations, Sofik brachas lahavdil. The bracha is only rabbinic, and by saying the bracha where it's not necessary, you may be over this of the oraisa. So then for sure you don't make the bracha. That's called you try to make it up and find a way to make it where it is necessary so you can cover yourself and not have enjoyment from the world without a bracha. But bottom line, if there's no way to do that, then you what's it called, we say sofik brachos lahakol, right, that if you're not sure if you make a bracha or not, you don't make the bracha. And according to the Rambam it's even extra, because you may, if you make the bracha and you shouldn't, then you're transgressing the Torah prohibition. And according to the Ramban, that it's only rabbinic, since the bracha is only rabbinic, right? So the rabbi said that we'd rather you not make the bracha, right? Since it's only rabbinic, and you rabbinically could be over an isser if you do make the bracha, we'd rather you don't make the bracha. So did the Rabbanan, the Sufik bracha slahak. Okay, those are basically, and therefore it's important to know what bracha to make, because the rabbis instituted that we should make specific brachas on specific things, not just general, even though we'll see that there are times when you can make a general bracha when you're not sure what specific bracha to make. And also they made different rules when to say the bracha, when not. when one bracha helps for a lot of things, when you've come to an end of that part of the bracha and have to make a new bracha, right? There are many things that cause that. You change your place, you took it out of your mind, hesech hadash. There are many things which we'll learn which can necessitate you making a new bracha, and the original bracha you made doesn't count anymore. And sometimes that. Sometimes the original bracha counts up until a certain point. You don't make new brachas. You're eating a meal, and you made a bracha at the beginning of the meal. You don't have to make a bracha throughout the meal. And also the rabbis instituted when you one bracha will cover a lot of things, and when it doesn't cover other things, and you have to make a separate bracha. All of those things we will, Amir Tz Hashem, learn little by little.